feel that way tonight. Serving the Lord a long time, and I don't know that I can really say that I've seen authentic, lingering revival in my lifetime. I want to do that at some time in my life. You worship with me. Amen. As I sing this song, Revival. Without your touch, our heart grows cold. Without your stir, the flame burns low. So, Lord, I ask, as only you can, revive our hearts. Please heal our land. Whatever it takes, whatever I must do, I need revival, Lord, from you. Just speak the words, dear Lord, I pray. Help me receive it and obey. Oh, whatever it takes, whatever I must do, I need revival, Lord, from you.
Hallelujah.
Just speak the word.
Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, I pray. Help me receive.
Hallelujah.
It and obey.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it, Holy Ghost. Let it start tonight, Lord. That sovereign peace mahota. Rest no matter. That sovereign move. Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, I'm tired of being stirred without being changed. And I don't want just an emotional high while I live the same. You see, the touch that I need,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
doesn't come from man, but it's when I'm on my knees, moved by his hand.
Would you stand?
Oh, whatever it takes. Lord, whatever I need to do,
hallelujah,
I need a revival, Lord, from you. So just speak the word.
Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Help me receive.
Thank God, some more papa.
It
and
obey. Listen, I'm tired of being stirred without being changed.
Oh, what a thing.
And Lord, I don't want an emotional high while I just live the same.
Thank God.
Oh, the touch that I need, it doesn't come from man, just when I'm on my knees, moved by God's hand. Come on, sing that with me now. Oh, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever I need to do. We need revival, Lord, that comes from you. Just speak the word. Dear Lord, I pray. Help me receive it and obey. Oh, just speak the word. Dear Lord, I pray. Help me receive it and obey.
Please don't sit down until you raise your hand up high.
Amen.
And tell God you're not coming here for something just to lift you to an emotional place. That you really want to be changed. You really want to be physical. We got a lost a world that needs to be changed. Oh, there's some more about you. Hallelujah. We've determined we're going to have a Holy Ghost move this week with everything in us.
Hallelujah.
Brother Richard. Hallelujah. 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 Just keep standing word with your hands up. Brother Miles, pray for me.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, in your name. We're standing before you, Lord, all in need of a Holy Ghost revival. Lord, you know we've been praying for this, praying for this meeting, praying for our own souls. And Lord, send it. Send it, Lord. Send it, we pray in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship a minute, will you? Just a moment. The preacher's going to preach. Sing another. I want you to sing that last verse.
Lord, I'm tired of being stirred.
I am, brother. Tired of being stirred.
And yet there's still no change.
Oh, there come my son.
I'm tired of those emotional highs.
Me too, Lord.
While I live the same.
Get on my soul, Lord.
Jesus, what I need.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't come from man, but it's when I'm down on my knees, moved by your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, Lord.
Whatever I need to do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we need revival. Dear Lord, from you. So just speak your word. Dear Lord, right here tonight, we pray. Help me receive it and obey. So speak your word right here, right now.
Right here, right
dear
now.
Dear Lord, Jesus. We pray.
Hallelujah.
Help us receive it and obey.
Thank God for every preacher that's here tonight. Would you raise your hand if you
Hallelujah.
Are a preacher?
Hallelujah.
You are welcomed, brothers. I love you. I wish I had time for every one of you
Hallelujah.
To say some things, and you will be doing that as we move along. But now let's believe God for revival. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Are you ready for the word?
Hallelujah.
I mean, are ready for the word? That's right. Give God a great big hand while Brother Switzer comes.
Isn't the Lord good to us? What a prayer. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We have seen revival. We have been revived. We're just made aware of the fact every day that we desperately need revival again. And I am convinced that God is willing. I know He's able. I think we all believe that, but I'm convinced that He is really willing to give us revival. I don't know, but what America's best days are probably behind her. I don't feel that way for the church. I really don't. I don't feel like the church's best days are behind us. If I believe that, I don't really think I could believe the Word of God. So I believe the church can have revival. I believe we must have revival when you really think about it. So it's good to be here. It's wonderful to feel the presence of the Lord. Good to see all of you folks here. Some of you, you know, I've known for some time, and others I've known for a longer time. But it's just good to see everyone. We've got some folks all the way from Florida, and got some folks from Georgia, and glad. These two brothers right here, it's been some time since I've seen them, but it is so good to have Brother Miles and Brother Holcomb in service with us, and from Georgia. And I tell you what, those two brothers were raised under one of the greatest individuals I personally ever knew. His name was Brother C.M. Butler from Savannah, Georgia. And it's so good to have these brothers in service. And just everyone, glad you're here in the house of the Lord. How many believes God's going to move for us right around these altars? That's really what it's all about. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do for us. So I want you to go to the book of Exodus in chapter 33. Exodus 33, verse 12. Exodus 33 and 12. You ready? And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He said, this is what God is saying. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses, he said unto him, this is Moses, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, This is Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Turn over to the next chapter, chapter number 34, and verse number 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And you can be seated. Even prior to the chapter that I first read from, chapter 33, Moses had been on Mount Sinai receiving the law, and he had even received other directions from the Lord. The Bible said that when he was up there, there were some things that transpired back in the lower region of that mountain or on level ground. The Bible said in Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." And so they got tired of waiting on Moses to come back down from that mountain. And they decided that they wanted a god or gods that they could worship and have church with. If I can use that lingo, they wanted a god or gods that they could have church with. And as time passed, they made their god, they worshiped their god, they danced around their god. And Moses comes down from the mountain and he sees all of this idol worship that has taken place. And of course, his anger is kindled. And he throws down the tablets. He takes the calf. He burns it, grinds it into powder, scatters it upon the water, and demands that the people drink that water. And he questioned Aaron and he questioned the other people by saying, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And of course, we know that the sons of Levi stood with him, and there was a group that didn't, and they were slain. Well, as time passed, he's commanded to leave Sinai again. And the Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, "Depart and go up hence, and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, into a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." And so after the situation that had happened around this calf and the worship that had taken place around this calf, God had decided, "I'm not going to go with them. I'll let them go to that land, but I'll send an angel instead." And so when Moses heard from the Lord that this was the plan of God, Moses immediately is keenly aware of his great need for the divine presence of God. You see, to Moses, it wasn't enough for God to tell him, "You go ahead, you pull up stake, you move camp, you go on to the land of Canaan. I'll take care of all the enemies, but I want you to know I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel, but if I go with you, I'll consume you in the way." But Moses had seen and experienced enough of the presence of God to know there is nothing out there worth having if God is not there. And that's something that you and I need to understand. There's nothing out there worth having if God is not there. Moses understood how foolish it would be to go to that land. It didn't matter that it was flowing with milk and honey. It didn't matter that they would have houses to dwell in that they didn't build. It didn't matter that they would have vineyards to enjoy that they didn't plant. It didn't matter if God would send a
whole host of angels to go with them. That was not good enough for a man that had already experienced the presence of God. And I want to tell you, brother and sister, you know as well as I do, we have reached an hour where people are willing to have church, they're willing to have revival, they're willing to have camp meetings. They do it week in and week out without ever being concerned as to whether or not the presence of the Lord is in their midst. We've got a church that's moving on their journey. If you ask them, oh, we're growing, we're expanding, we're conquering, the kingdom of God is expanding. We've taken Canaan. Look at all of the fruit. Look at all of the benefits. Look at everything that we have, but miss everything that they claim they have. There is an absence of the presence of God that is being seen. And I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, there is nothing that takes the place of the presence of God. Whatever else we may not have, brothers and sisters, we have got to have the presence of God in our midst. And you're looking at one preacher that's not content to have church without him. It doesn't matter how good the singing is. It doesn't matter how good our choirs become. It doesn't matter how good our musicians are. It doesn't matter how eloquent all of our preachers become. I'm telling you, you can alliterate until people step back and say, my Lord, he's more of a poet than Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. But if you don't have the anointing, my brother and sister, if we don't have the presence of Almighty God, everything that we do is in vain. We have got to have the presence of God. And the question is, how content are we to go without him? You rest assured, there's others that if God would have told that to, they'd have said, oh, that's fine. That's what we've been waiting on anyway. We've been waiting on Canaan. Doesn't matter how we get there, who goes with us, let us have it. But I want to tell you something. Canaan ain't worth having if God ain't there. How many knows that? It was by shameful apostasy at Mount Sinai that they showed just how possible it is to be near the presence of God. How possible it is to be so near the presence of God until you get used to it and you take it for granted and you get to the place to where you feel like we can do it without him. Even while they are near the presence of God, they neglect his presence. They ignore his presence. It's as though they forgot his presence. Don't you know that there was a cloud? Don't you know there was a thunder and there was a lightning and there was a display? They may have not been on top of that mountain, but they were close enough to see the display of the presence of Almighty God. How dare them say, let's make another God? How dare them say, let's dance around a calf? How dare them say, let's take our gold and form something that can't hear, that can't speak, that certainly can't deliver? And right there, they're living in the shadow of the presence of Almighty God. But they got accustomed to it. They got used to it in such a way until they got to the place they could live right by it and never pay any attention to it. I said they could live right by it and never pay any attention to Almighty God. They got used to the rumble in the distance. They got used to the flash of the glory of God. They got used to the thick cloud and they lived right next to it and just got accustomed to it. Brother and sister, Isn't that the church's story? Isn't that the way it is? But oh, I'm here to tell you, we need to rethink this thing and realize if there's one thing we can't do, that's lose our dependency upon the presence of God. We claim to be a group of people that has the genuine, that has what really counts and what really matters. And I want to tell us from the depths of my heart, we are nothing without His glory. I said we are nothing without His glory. I've been struggling with this throughout the day as to, you know, where to exactly go and what to exactly call this. But I believe I want to tell us that His glory has always been our story. I said His glory has always been our story. It's His presence that's always made the difference. You see, Moses valued the presence of Almighty God. And my brothers and sisters, I don't want to be cruel or harsh here, but I've been around enough to realize that we've got a generation that really don't value His presence like that older generation did. They've learned how to have church without Him. We have got singing, and I believe it all. We ought to do the best that we possibly can. But listen, it doesn't matter if God shows up or not. We've got quartets, we got trios, we got chorales, we got choirs, we got musicians, we got a number of songs. I'm telling you what, if the chorus and the verse don't get us moving, we got a bridge. We got a bridge that we'll jerk out, and we'll pull out the 7 and 11 on you. What does that mean? We'll repeat 7 words 11 times and drive you so crazy you gotta shout. And you gotta get in. And I want to tell you, that don't mean it's God's glory. And that doesn't mean it's God's presence. And I love good singing. And I think it ought to be done right. But I'm going to too many places where they're substituting a show for the glory of God when there is no substitution. I said there is no substitution. You can have 2 hours of what you call a service, but the lost don't get saved if He ain't there. The demoniac don't get delivered if He ain't there. The sick don't get healed if He ain't there. We've got to have the presence of the glory of God. His glory has always been our story. It's always what's made the difference. Well, I tell you what, and you know, I've been there, done that, and all that silly stuff that just, you know, I've got caught up in the moment and said things, and I was in my mind, I was reaching out trying to pull it back in because I realized that it didn't matter how much I critiqued everybody else and what they were doing, it wasn't going to make me any better than what I was, or it ain't going to make our church service any better than what it is. I've heard people get up and say, well, bless God, we're the best God's got. He's got to use us. You must be crazy if you really believe that. Now, it's goofy to believe it. It's double goofy to get up and say it. Boy, he's got to have us. He ain't got to have none of us. I said, he ain't got to. Don't you think that much of yourself. He ain't got to have any of us. But boy, if He'll use me, I'll be thrilled. If He'll anoint me, I'm going to be grateful. But my brothers and sisters, I don't want to be in 2015 trying to accomplish something for God by simply living off claims of the past, by simply living off of a name, by simply merely existing because of a title on a church sign or over a door. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church at Sardis? I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. You are living off false pretenses. You are claiming to be something that you're not. We're not going to live. Listen to me. We are not going to live in a splendid past and try to flatter ourselves. No, we're not. With the work of vanished generations, it's not what we were. It's not what we had that really matters. It's what we are in 2015. It's not enough for a church to maintain a high reputation of being holy and of being Pentecostal if there is no proof when that world walks through those doors. I thought I was in a holiness church. I thought I was in a Pentecostal church. But when I walk in here, there's nothing that resembles either. It's not a reputation that's going to count. It's reality that we need. I said it's reality. Oh God, I've been raised in this all of my life. I'm 41. I got saved at 5. Got the baptism in the Holy Ghost at 8. That doesn't mean anything if I don't maintain a relationship with God. It's not enough to point back at all the experiences I've had in days gone by. I gotta have something tonight. I've gotta have His power and His glory working in my life. We can acquire a very high reputation for being something we're not. We really can. You know, you think about it. I've heard the stories from those old timers decades ago, how that the church had such an experience to people out there in the world, even though they may not have been a part, when they got sick, when they got that bad diagnosis, you know where they wanted to come? How many remembers that? How many? Some of you old timers remember that. Oh yeah, they'd laugh and make fun of you, saying, "Now you go over there, they're gonna throw some kind of powder on you. It's gonna make you act funny. They got something in that bottle. If it gets on you, you're gonna jerk and do things." And they didn't understand the Holy Ghost, so they made fun. Oh yeah, they made fun. But when they said it's cancer, you know where they wanted to come? When they said it's diabetes, when they said you only got a few weeks to live, better make your funeral plans, you know where they wanted to come? They wanted to come to the church that had the glory. They wanted to come to the church. They didn't care if it's powder, oil, or Crisco. Put it on me. I need deliverance. I need healing. I need a miracle. And listen, I mean, let's just all suffer and bleed together for a little while here. But when's the last time somebody walked through the doors of your church and said, "I'm here because I've heard of all the miracles"? When's the last time they walked through the doors of your church and said, "I'm here because my neighbor said she came to your church and got healed of cancer"? You say, "Man, that's a foreign, that's ridiculous. You're just trying to hype us up." You mean to tell me us coming to the realization we ain't got what we need is hyping us up? You mean I ain't nothing hype about that? That's just reality, brother and sister. But the sooner we come to grips with the fact that we need more of God, the sooner we're going to have revival that our brother sung about. I'm tired of the stirring and not being changed. I'm tired of revival after revival and everybody's the same. Camp meeting after camp meeting, everybody's the same. Conference after conference. And brother and sister, they don't bring enough home to even blow the fuzz off a peach at the end of the next service they're at. Why? Because we are substituting hype. We are substituting emotion for the glory and the presence of God. And my dear brothers and sisters, there's no substitution. I want to reclaim that past glory and say, oh God, your presence, your power, your unction, your anointing, you working in our midst. That's what it's all about. That's our real story. That's what we've got to have. One of the most stirring things I've ever read was in Charles Kahn's book. He wrote Why Men Go Back. And one of the things that he wrote in there in 1966 was, we must hold to our distinctives. And he said that he heard a minister preach, and he wrote this in 1966, nearly 50 years ago. He said he had heard a man preach about the Holy Ghost. He said it was stirring. It's a very learned and eloquent message. But he said the unusual thing about it was the man that preached about the Holy Ghost was not even a Pentecostal preacher. He said he would probably disclaim any similarity. And then he said, we have been called fanatics and even heretics. We've been scorned, ridiculed, and ignored. Yet our impact has been felt. Our vitality has been sought. He said, it's neither a boast nor an exaggeration that we have profoundly influenced our day far more than people even realize. This was 50 years ago. He said, now a strange possibility faces us. After having borne abuse because of our beliefs, we stand in danger of watching others elevate and extol these beliefs, while among us they are diminished. After having impressed our day with the truth of Pentecostal faith, will we watch others accept and emphasize them more and more, and we ourselves de-emphasize them? And then he wrote, I believe it was in capital letters, listen to me, it could happen. It could happen. How many of you know Pentecostal churches that no longer emphasizes Pentecostal truths? Every corner. I don't even know if he realized how prophetic. And I don't know the man, don't know anything about him. You probably knew him. I'd say you did. But he said it could happen. It could happen. He said there's 3 points that distinguish the Pentecostal movement. These distinctives have been the decisive element between us and the world and between us and the so-called mainstream church. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit. And number three, holiness. He said now there's a revival of these 3 points in some non-Pentecostal churches. He said, but they were not new to us. God raised us up to keep these truths alive after many churches had set them aside. It would be most tragic if we should let those who once disowned us because of them now stress them more than we do. If our emphasis should decrease while the emphasis of others increase, we will lose our distinction. And then he said this, others would then be Pentecostal in faith and we only in name. I want to tell you, brother and sister, my heart breaks. My heart breaks because I said in too many Pentecostal churches where the Spirit of God's not moving, where the gifts of the Spirit are not operational, where souls are not being saved, where miracles are not happening, we are losing that Pentecostal distinctive. I said we're losing it, and we've got to do everything we can. We need to step back like Moses said, wait a minute, we won't go any further. We don't want to lose your glory. Ezekiel 10 tells the story of the departure of God's glory from the threshold of the east gate of the Lord's house. And here it goes, leaving. The Bible said, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house of the Lord and stood over the cherubims. It's as though the glory of God is leaving gradually, slowly. He just doesn't up and abandon, but it's a gradual, almost as though the heart of God is breaking, as if he's saying, I don't want to leave, I don't want to go, this is where I want to be. And he's gradually leaving, and he's gradually departing, and he's gradually moving away. And brother and sister, my question is, where was the priest? Why didn't he say, wait a minute, you can't leave, you got to stay, we'll do whatever it takes, don't remove your glory. And now here we are in 2015, and the glory in too many churches has become a thing of the past. But I'd like to step up and run after it and say, wait a minute, don't leave us, we've got to have you, we can't make it. We cannot make it without you. I don't want you to leave us. I don't want you to forsake us. I want to hold on to the glory of Almighty God.
Most of you have never seen my glory in this excellency. But it's my desire, saying, God, if I can have a people that will die to everything but me and live for nothing but me, I wish of a host of the earth, I will come in my blue beauty and my majesty, and you shall be blessed, and others shall be blessed, and my church can shine again.
We ought to raise our hands and give the Lord praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Now, folks, I'm just getting into this, but I don't know that I need to even preach much longer. It's really not about me preaching. It's all about His glory. I said, it's all about His glory. I want us to take a moment, just worship Him. Let's talk to Him for a few moments. Would you do it? Would you talk to Him just a few moments? Oh, God. More than anything, I want your glory. I want your glory. I want your presence. Oh, I'm going to take you to Canaan. No, I'm going to send one of my angels. If I go, I'm liable to consume you. Wait a minute, God. If you don't go with us, we're not going. We're not going. I'd rather live in a wilderness with you than go to Canaan without you. Do you hear me? I'd rather live in the wilderness with Him than go to Canaan without Him. We've got to have somebody ought to obey the Lord and let the Holy Ghost have His way. I want His glory to be our story. That's what we talk about. That's what we tell. What's going on at your church? It's God's glory. It's God's presence. It's God's power. What's He doing at Paul Creek? It's His glory. What's He doing at Danville? It's His glory. What's He doing at Pinora? I just gotta tell you, it's His glory. What's He doing at Emmanuel? Well, He's been moving. His glory has been in our midst. That's the story I want to tell. It's Holy Ghost revival. It's the outpouring of His Spirit. It's signs and wonders following the believers. Brother and sister, it's more than just history on the pages of this book. It's the real story of a Pentecostal church. I said it's the real story of a Pentecostal church. Give Him praise and glory. Stand right now and just worship Him. I really don't need to preach. I really don't need to preach any longer.
Oh, let's let this place ring with his praises. Oh. Oh, I tell you, these altars are open. I want his glory. Now, I tell you, I've heard some of those old timers talk about it looked like a haze would come in the congregation. Oh, yeah. It was such an overwhelming wave of God's presence and power. I've heard them. Did I hear you say you saw it? Oh, God. I can't say I've ever seen it. But my eyes are open tonight. My heart is yearning. My hands are reaching out. Oh God, I want your glory. I want you to fill this place. He filled it in such a way at the dedication of that temple until the ministers could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Oh God, would you give us your glory? Would you move among us once again? Oh, everyone that will, move in this direction if you can. Let's seek the Lord. Oh, let's seek the Lord. Let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray that souls will be saved.
feel that way tonight. Serving the Lord a long time, and I don't know that I can really say that I've seen authentic, lingering revival in my lifetime. I want to do that at some time in my life. You worship with me. Amen. As I sing this song, Revival. Without your touch, our heart grows cold. Without your stir, the flame burns low. So, Lord, I ask, as only you can, revive our hearts. Please heal our land. Whatever it takes.